It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everybody. My name is Pastor Don Swarthout, and I'm glad to be here today. And I still love to say we crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America. I want to get into my message today. My choice of scripture is 2 Corinthians 3:17, which says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I've been given two revelations by the Lord lately, and one has to do with this scripture. If you change it around a little bit, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where that Spirit of the Lord is not, neither is there liberty." That really makes it clear to me. One of the greatest leaders in our history was Ben Franklin. Franklin was famous for his ability to see common sense at the bottom line of many, many moral questions. Although he may not have lived them all out properly or perfectly, one example in his autobiography, published in 1868, was about a small book that Franklin was known to carry with him at all times. In this book were 13 virtues which he tried to live up to all of his life. And after each virtue in the book was a short sentence, like after the word justice were the words, "Wrong none by doing injuries." In looking back at that list of 13 virtues, I found an interesting blank after the word chastity. It was the only blank among the 13 virtues written in the book, which Franklin carried with him at all times. Ben Franklin was reported by some to be a man who was not very religious. However, by today's standards, Franklin was a devoutly religious man who frequently wrote and thought a great deal about God. Franklin was on his way home from the Constitutional Convention when he met a lady who recognized him and asked, "What decision was the best form of government for our country did you make?" Franklin replied, "Ma'am, we have given you a republic if you can keep it." I think you will recognize that Franklin did not say, "We have given you a democracy." He said, "We have given you a republic if you can keep it." The question I'm trying to answer is, what did our founders give to us? Franklin said it was a form of government known as a republic. In my opinion, we have not kept that form of government very well in response to Ben Franklin's comment to this lady. But I guess maybe I should explain that a republic is a form of government based upon the principles of God and upon laws with which most of us agree. This was according to the leaders of Franklin's time, or at the same time, our country was established. On June 28, 1787, it was Ben Franklin who delivered a powerful speech to the Constitutional Convention. It was Franklin who was the most revered man among the 56 delegates of the convention. It was Franklin who was the most senior of these delegates at the age of 81. And it was Franklin who commanded the respect of all. In his speech, Franklin implored everyone in attendance to stop their bickering over how each state would be represented in the new government. These hostile feelings were created by smaller states being pitted against the larger states. Now, as an aside here, I want to say that I've come up with a reason that the smaller populated states are more religious today than people might normally think of the larger populated states. People who live in those smaller population areas have time and take time to reflect upon God. On the other hand, people who live in large population areas do not take time or have time for God. The people who live in the larger population states are too busy making a living and taking care of their family in the natural world. Franklin's speech included the fact that they had spent weeks debating absolutely every question, but had found no resolution. Franklin said, we have reviewed all of the states around Europe, but found none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. Sir, we have hitherto not once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding. Franklin was drawing attention to the fact that they had disagreed on many things, and at that same time had found it unnecessary to call upon God. In the fourth paragraph, he said, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, we had daily prayer in this room for our divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and answered. All of us were engaged in this struggle, must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. Franklin went on to say, that kind of providence that we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace and a means of establishing the future of our nation. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? One of the most quoted paragraphs in the speech, Franklin says, I have lived a long time, sir, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? Franklin continued, without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babylon. We shall be divided by our partial local interests. Our projects will become confounded, and we ourselves will become a reproach and a byword to the future ages. And what is worse, mankind hereafter despairing of establishing governments by humanity will leave it to chance, war, and conquest. Franklin concluded his speech with saying, I therefore beg leave move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and the blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and one of the clergy of the city be asked to officiate the service. Following Franklin's historical address, James Madison moved that the prayer be enacted. Prayers have become an opening part of both houses of Congress every since. The clergy effected a profound change in the convention And when they reconvened, as was noted in their records, we have assembled again. And every unfriendly feeling had been expelled, and a spirit of conciliation had been cultivated. Ben Franklin gave more than just a speech. He talked about God. He had proven beyond any question that he had studied God and believed in God. Franklin had written about God for many years before giving his speech. Ben Franklin had written more about God than any of the rest of us. We have been led to believe that if we were not given a republic but a democracy, we had been misled to twist and twist our Constitution. A democracy is a form of government that leads us to accept anything. And that is what America has become. Under such thinking, nothing is right or wrong. We have become a nation which accepts anything, like the destruction of our flag by demonstrators who hate our nation and want to express that hatred. In democracy, anything goes and is acceptable to those who believe in this way of living. But Jesus Christ himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm sure you have noticed that Jesus did not say, anything is okay. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And his kingdom is where we all want, or should want, to end up. It is much more meaningful than our life here on earth. When will we learn that Jesus is the final word? Jesus is the answer. We had better learn that very soon. In America, there is a group who thinks that freedom means no rules and no responsibility. This group is the ACLU, and they think freedom means no rules and no responsibility. To show you how disingenuous these people are, they have come out publicly against inspection of packages and people at entrances to buildings, saying these searches violate these people's right to privacy. Yet, the ACLU inspects packages and people entering their headquarters in New York City. The second revelation the Lord gave to me was when he said, Don, you do not have a political problem in the United States today. We have a religious problem in America today. Our nation was founded upon the principles of God, and God was the basis for our decision about what kind of government we were supposed to have. Just like Ben Franklin wanted to have God's help in forming the government, we must have God's help in everything that we do. We must consult with God in everything. We must learn to ask God for his opinion about everything that comes up. Even back in the times of our founding fathers, as soon as we forgot God, they had major disagreements about our government. When will we learn that God is the answer for all of our decisions? In the times of our founding fathers, Franklin noticed we were not invoking God, and it resulted in many, many questions, all because we had forgotten God. The recent battles in government in Wisconsin, or the battles between the Democrats and Republicans taking place in Washington, D.C., all of these arguments can only be corrected by putting our faith in God. In 1789, when George Washington was first elected President of the United States, almost all of our leaders really believed in God. Almost none of them could have been without believing in the divine intervention of God. Nearly every leader in America was a real Christian. Our leaders were exceptional Christians, particularly when compared to those who call themselves Christians today. Today, we're not sold out like our founding fathers were. Instead, today, we are just plain church. Far too many people in America believe their form of government is democracy. Instead, our founders told us that we were to be a republic. Anymore, our Constitution does not mean whatever it says. It means whatever some judge says it means. And these ideas have become political. These judges keep finding new ways to interpret the Constitution, which they say was the intention of the founders, or that they say their interpretations are more appropriate for today. What they're really saying is the Constitution does not mean what it really says. These judges say the Constitution is a living, breathing document that changes with the times. I wonder which it is. Do our judges find new laws in our Constitution, or is it a breathing document that changes with the times? I do not believe it is either. I believe our Constitution was written by men who were under divine guidance because of prayer. Ben Franklin prayed for our Constitution every day. Today, we should be as godly as Ben Franklin and most of our founding fathers were. I believe God answers the prayers of our congressmen, and when they prayed to God by faith, I believe the Constitution means what it says. And I feel sorry for you if you do not. I believe that we were to have a republic, and I feel sorry for you if you don't believe that, or if you do not believe in God. I believe America was founded upon the principles of God. I believe that we were founded to be a republic, and that means we are a nation of Christian laws. Believing in God used to be a good reason for wanting to come to America. Now people want to come to America strictly for financial gain. I know a pastor in Baltimore that came to America from Kenya. He left his family for what he thought was to be a short time to come here. It was 5 years before he saw his wife again. And they both remained faithful. He told me that before coming here, he thought that all Americans were Christians. Can you imagine his surprise when he found out that not all Americans, in fact, a small percentage of them, are what we call Christians? He pastors a church in Baltimore where all of the people are from Kenya. I have preached there a number of times, and I am the only white person to set foot in that church. Nearly all of the people at his church were college graduates, and they graduated here in the United States. They all had jobs, and they all worked. A girl from Kenya told an American friend she needed some help in getting a car to drive to college. So the friend explained to her how you buy a car. The girl just looked at him and said, "You don't understand. I need some help in finding someone to give me a car." Her friend did not really believe in her faith, but she was given a car within 5 days. Imagine that pastor from Kenya when he found out that all Americans are not real Christians. He was devastated because of a belief that all Americans were rich to him. In fact, compared to the average household income, many foreign countries would see America as being a land of rich people. Some of these countries average less than a dollar per day in income. Many of these countries that are better off than these where the income is a dollar a day, the average income is still very low compared to America. It is no wonder that many people think of America as being rich. It is because we are rich and we do not appreciate it. Too many Americans do not get it when it comes to God. I often wonder why these people come to church. They want to explain what little I know, and they want me to tell them things about God, but they don't know anything already about God. And it doesn't matter if they've been in church for all their life. These people say that they want to know God, but they just keep on being confused. They just do not think they can ever understand God. Somebody needs to explain to these people that they are making God too hard. If they would just relax and read their Bibles, they would find their minds are open to the Word of God. It may take a little time. They may grow in their understanding, but they would have more understanding than they have ever thought. My main point is this. People today are generally very weak Christians when compared to the Christians living in the days of our founding fathers. Well, our time for today is gone, and we will be back next week unless the Lord comes first, in which case we will see you in heaven. This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying goodbye for now.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number four, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.